All right, here we go. Gospel of John, chapter 15, reading from verse 5. Bible says, I am the vine. This is our Lord Jesus Christ that is speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man, I'm going to just add this in boldly, or woman, can I get a witness on that? If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Hence the picture up there. You see that? Got fruit. He says, if anyone does not remain in me, I'm sorry, back up, bear much fruit apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. I like those things. When I read that in the Bible, whatever you wish, I underline those. I like that part. You could underline that part, but also the remain in me part. They kind of are a combo. Can I get a witness on it? Pastor Paul is talking about them churches that would just kind of leave little parts out. They often leave out that remain in me part. That's right. They throw that anything you wish around all the time. But it's that remain in me that is an important part. Amen?
Amen?
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory. A lot of us here today come in here for our glory. What can I get for me? There's that whole truth thing again. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Lord, I pray, clarity today. Lord, I pray the binding of every distraction, Lord. I thank you for the testimonies, Lord. I thank you for the obedience on display this morning here as we take a look at water baptism. Lord, I thank you that we want to be obedient to your word, that you would guide and direct us this morning. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. The challenge of change is the series, and we're talking about fruit, as you might have gotten out of my reading from John chapter 15. The word there for gardener is a broader term that also means farmer. And I want to talk to you about a farmer. I want to talk to you about my Uncle Clarence. He's a farmer, and he's a rancher. That means he grows stuff, and he grows cows, okay? He grows hay. This is not a picture of his tractor, but he grows hay much like that. I have cut his hay when I was a little kid. I worked for him in the summers. He grows hay, and he sells hay, and he feeds his cows, right? Now, beef. He is a beef rancher, right? Beef comes. I don't know if this is appropriate. This is the right punctuation. But I would say beef comes in two forms, male and female. Now, males we call bulls. But my uncle, he brings in choice bulls. So if there is a calf, like that little calf right there, that looks like they call it a bull calf. You don't remain a bull calf very long. There's a little surgery performed on that bull calf, and they turn him into a steer. If you don't know what that means, you can ask your mom after church, okay? If your mom doesn't know, you can come and ask me. And steers get to be about a year old, and they are sold for hamburger. Now, the females call them cows. A year-old cow is called a heifer. A heifer is bred and has a calf. And that heifer and that calf are fed and cared for and blessed by my uncle. 2-year-old heifers are called cows. Cows are bred. And if they have calves, they are fed, cared for, doctored, give them shots, take care of those things. But if there is no calf, hamburger. Okay? Because it's not worth feeding a steer his second year. And it's not worth feeding a cow if she doesn't have a calf. See, my uncle does not ranch just to get up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning every day. Now, he is now retired, grudgingly, but he did this since he was 15, 16 years old. Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, run the water on his hay. He was not doing it just because he liked getting up at 2 o'clock and running his water. He was doing it for a return on his investment. Can I get a witness on that? You understand what I'm talking about? Now, we are going to be talking about not cows today, but vines. And the vines are a picture of the nation of Israel. And that picture is initially described in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 5. This is verses 1, 2, and then we jump to 7. You'll see some dots there. And Isaiah writes in chapter 5 of his book, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes. Like my uncle looks for calves. But it yielded only bad fruit. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. You see, the Lord had planted a vineyard and was not getting what he wanted out of his labor. Now, we're going to talk about that as our Lord Jesus Christ continues on his story, this story about his children. This story is told to his disciples on the way to the cross. They have left the upper room, they have had the Last Supper, and they are on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is arrested. And as they are walking, perhaps they walked by a vineyard, or the temple was arrayed with vines because they were a display of the nation of Israel. So as they are walking to Jesus' arrest and eventual crucifixion, he says, let me tell you about a vineyard. Let me tell you about vines in my Father's house. And he says, I want to tell you about how you are going to relate to God. I want to tell you how you are going to relate to one another, and I'm going to tell you how you are going to relate to the world. And as he speaks to his disciples, we must receive this as he is speaking to the church. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as those who got baptized in water this morning, and if you hold on to the hope that you will spend eternity with him, then this message is for you today. Can I get a witness on that? That this truth that Jesus is going to speak would speak how you are going to get along with the Lord, how you are going to get along with one another, and how you are going to get along with the world. He speaks of fruit. You can think of calves. Have you got some? Because if you have fruit, it's because of God's choice. He chose you. Amen? And if you don't have any, it's because of your choice, because you have left him. Amen? Yeah. Tommy, got that blood pressure thing? I think blood pressure's going up. All right, here we go. Don't turn into hamburger today, guys. All right, here we go. Picture of the vineyard. Point number one. verses 1 through 3. I am the true vine. I'm the good vine. I'm the one you want to hook up with, says Jesus as he is walking to the cross. He says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off. You could open, if you got your Bible, you know, you could just take your pen and cross off that cutoff part. If you want to go to that church that Pastor Paul was talking about. Because we believe in a merciful and kind God that wouldn't do any cutting. Amen? I mean, God's not a cutting God. Except it says it right here in his word that he cuts. He cuts off every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit. Amen. That's a harsh statement, folks. You know, I wish I could just come along and line that out in your Bible. I wish that we were in the Church of Bob. Because in the Church of Bob, I could make it easier on you. You know what? In the church, yeah, I guess we could have heated water up. Well, we're not going to go there. The jacuzzi church. There we go. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Guess what? He's cutting every branch. It's just whether or not you're getting pruned or cut off. He does that so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. God is the gardener. And we're talking a story about a grapevine. Now, I have driven tractor in grapes for my whole high school career. I don't know what you call high school stay. Those look like good vines right there. And there's only one thing missing about those vines. There's no fruit. Let me just show you. See the fruit here? No fruit. Now, I, being a high school expert on grapes, can tell you that those grapes are probably late June, early July. I used to drive tractor in Chowchilla. And the leaves are just... You can just tell there's no fruit yet. It hasn't started yet. There's little tiny bunches in there. So you look at that, and you're looking at it, and we could be going, yeah, the grapes are looking good. Grape vines are looking good. But what you're looking for is the fruit. And that fruit, all that fruit, this is probably in August or maybe early September, and that fruit is getting close to being picked. And Jesus says you can always tell a nice, healthy vine because there's going to be fruit on it. Healthy vines make grapes all the time. Healthy vines don't make oranges. Healthy vines don't make calves. Healthy vines make grapes. You got no grapes, you got a messed up vine. And we'll come along at this time and we will label all the vines that have no production and we will rip them out. Why? You're taking up space in the vineyard. There's no production. Rip them out. Plant a new vine next year that can make fruit. Make sense? Now, Jesus' story is about a gardener in heaven. He says, my dad is like the gardener who's out taking care of the fruit. And I got this picture off the internet. I do not believe that's the Lord. In fact, I believe that that is an apple tree, but you get the picture. That our Lord Jesus Christ compares his Father in heaven to the gardener who is tending the vine, who is paying attention, who is looking. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, God is looking.
Right.
He's looking for fruit in your life. And so we come to the question of, do you got fruit? Gardener tends the vines and the gardener... Now, that is a scary-looking picture. I don't know if you can see that, but that is the gardener with a pair of pruning shears at the vine. You're getting pruned or you're getting cut away. That snip is a scary snip. Amen? It will change your life. And so many of us do not want to have that change. So many of us do not want to be inconvenienced. And we just say, hands off to the gardener. I'm not feeling real comfortable with the whole pruning process. Well, if you're not getting pruned, you're getting cut off. So anybody else just, hey, prune me, Lord. Prune me, prune me, prune me. Yeah, I'll take that pruning. Because he cuts or he prunes. And the Father's focus is on the production of fruit. And you know, you can sit here and say, that kind of seems self-serving. God wanting to get something from me? You know what? The Lord is not asking permission. My uncle does not ask permission from the cows that are headed to the hamburger mill. He says, no calf, you got a problem, girl. Because I'm not going to feed you all this year for you to have calf next year. You're going to be hamburger. You got fruit? You got fruit, it's because of his choice. And if you don't, it's because of yours. No, it's fruit, Steve. I'm playing on that, bro. Get a little, well, never mind. We're just going to move on. Jesus is the vine. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Some, if you've got King James Version, it'll have abide. You know, and some people, you know, old folks like me, abide in me. Oh, yeah, it just feels good, abide. But NIV's got remain, easier to understand. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away. Like garbage. Thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, he's telling this story, saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Keep hooked up with me and you're going to have fruit. And you're sitting here today and you're going, I got no grapes. What are you talking about? It's just not really breaking through in my life. I don't understand what you mean. I can't make the correlation between fruit and what would happen in my life. Well, Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And repentance is that about face that you do in your life as you walk away from your old life is displayed as you go under the water and come to new life. Fruit. Have you got some? Do you lack fruit? Because he says if you lack fruit, you get cut off. And you will be like branches that are cast away. These are grapevines. And you come in off season when the leaves are gone, and there's canes. Those are canes. And skilled pruners come in and they trim off all the wood that is not going to produce fruit that year. And they make massive stacks. And they are burned. And out in the vineyards, when guys are burning their canes, you can tell because the smoke goes for miles. Now, they've always done that. They did it in Jesus' time. It was very noticeable. And Jesus says, if you've got no fruit, it's like you're tossed on the rubbish pile to be burned. Now, if we're in the church of Bob, I probably wouldn't be mentioning this part. And you wouldn't be worried about it. But it wouldn't change the fact that God's not asking permission. Because the pile's going to happen, the cutting's going to happen, the pruning's going to happen. And if you're not even in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't even have a shot of getting cut out because you're not even starting. Amen? So I'm not working for me, I'm working for Him. I'm just trying to be faithful to what His Word says. We could probably grow this church much bigger if we didn't have to preach His word and could just preach mine. Amen?
Amen.
That's just one. Amen?
Amen?
Some people are going, yeah, I ain't coming back. Talk about fruit for a minute. I was talking about hamburger earlier. Angelo and George here yesterday making hamburgers. We're going to cook them burgers later on today. Mike's going to be on the grill, probably. Pastor Carlos, because I'm on the grill today. Guess what? Pastor Carlos is going to have a little fruit today. You're going to go downstairs. There's going to be burgers waiting for you. That is the fruit of Pastor Carlos's labor. Amen?
That's right.
That is the fruit of George and Angelo's labor. I asked Laura if she was teaching today. She's down there. Guess what? That's fruit. There's fruit that is happening as she takes what the Lord Jesus Christ has invested in her and feeds it out. There are many of you that have fruit here today. Some of you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life as you ask Jesus to come and to transform you, that the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. And you can see, man, I am nowhere near the person I used to be. Can I get a witness on that? See, internal transformation, fruit with keeping with repentance, is a transformed life. And many of you are being transformed. Now, the transformation needs to be bigger than going from 20 cigarettes a day last year to 19 today. Looking for a little bit more than that. Blood of Christ will have a little bit more of an impact in your life than that. Can I get a witness on that? I should tell you too, cigarettes don't send you to hell. Not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior will get you to hell. Smoking cigarettes might get you there quicker, but it will not be the cause. There will be one question asked. Do you know my son as your Savior? If you don't, you're going to hell. And what Jesus is saying is, if you know me as your Savior, you're going to see it in your life. Transformed life. He calls it fruit. And if you got fruit, God's paying attention to your life, and He's going to be working in you so you can have more. And some people would say, back off. I'm doing enough. I tend not to say that to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Especially since He knows the gardener, and the gardener can just snip you right off and throw you in that fire. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Have you ever prayed with somebody to receive Christ? Like 1% or 2% of the church has. It was a blessing to hear some people going, yeah, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many church. If you go, where's Roki? Where are you? Oh, there you are, okay. I don't know, I mean, check this out. How many of you have baptized your own children? Roki has, Aaron has, Scott has. That's fruit, man. That is just flat out fruit. And you're involved in this church. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I asked Yusel if she wanted to baptize Kaylee. She said, oh, no, Roki's good, because it is cold in there. But it is fabulous to be in a community in which we can have fruit. Amen. We can carry the load. We can be participating in the plan of the Lord. Amen? Now, if you have fruit, it's because of God choosing you. Get into that just in a minute. But if you don't, it's because you're choosing not to be involved. Jesus says, connect to me and I'll give you anything you want. You ask me for stuff that's going to bring glory to my Father, and you can have anything. See, God's the gardener. We're the trees, man. We're supposed to have that fruit hanging. It just comes into the garden just going, whoo-wee. Doing some good stuff around here. I hope that's you. Sometimes the stuff just doesn't work. Had a challenging week. Met on Monday with the San Diego Food Bank and the Feeding America, talking about the co-op. Been trying to work with them for 2 to 3 months. Program, the food co-op is going strong in Atlanta and growing just slowly out of there. And I've been working with them, putting them in touch with the food bank in Atlanta, saying, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And on Monday, we got fruit. Hallelujah. They said, okay, we're going to take the shot. You can have one co-op. And it is going to be focused on food for you. So I hope if you're available, you're going to sign up for that. And we're signing up with the moms and the kids that are coming to the meal program that we've been running since last April 1st. We are coming up at the end of this month to 1 solid year. You know, we've got vacations and stuff in there. The kids aren't there. But to 1 year of that program. And on Tuesday of this week, we met with the Department of Education, or the CACFP people, and they're inspecting the program. And they said, we don't like how you're running it. We want you to spend all your money on food. And I said, all our food is donated. And they said, well, we want you to buy better food. I said, I invest in people like George and Monica to take that donated food and feed all these kids. And they said, we don't like that. And I said, well, we have to close this program because I don't want to run a program that's contrary to how you want it run. And we went through licensing and everything like that. In fact, we had excess funds, and I asked the licensing agent, said, because we did all the electrical changes, remember, back in August. And I said, hey, you know, we want to put that in. She goes, oh, no, you can't put that in. It's bolted. Anyway, it's technical. But she basically, I said, well, what do we do with all this money then? And she says, if you want, you can buy, like, benefit packages. You can join health clubs and all this stuff for your employees. I'm like, no, that's fine. We don't need health clubs. And then these ladies came and said, no, we don't want you to pay anybody. We want you to buy food. And you know what? That's a Lord pruning. You know, what's not. And I was struggling. I didn't sleep Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. I just wake up, go to sleep for an hour, and wake up. And I'd just be going through my head. And I read this text on Friday. The Lord just spoke to my heart and said, I'm pruning. You going to let me prune? Yes, Father. Prune whatever you want. We will follow your lead. See, when you ask for anything in his name, he knows what's going to work. He knows what he's going to give you. You ask according to his will, he'll give you anything. But sometimes he says, hey, this right here was good for a season, but now it's got to go. I'm going to prune it. We got to let them prune. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pruning can be a challenge. I'll tell you what. After church today, I'm going to go take a nap. Hallelujah. So, fruit and pruning. Command to love. Love goes with obedience. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Are we okay? I seem like I'm going a little bit long. I'll try and speed up here. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey, there's that word again, obey. Obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. He's telling, this is how you're going to get ahead. And so many of us have an incorrect image of love. We are thinking, hey, there we go. Candy and flowers will get you home. Jesus says it's obedience. Obedience keeps you connected. I have in my notes right here, if I do something nice for Lisa, it keeps me connected. I had check her oil. Today she comes, I need oil, I need oil. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, man, I had to stop last night because my motor is making grinding noises. She said, well, do it after church. I said, no, 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 take Joe out there right now. Put some oil in that thing. Keeps us connected. Obedience. He says, Jesus says, my obedience to my Father keeps me connected to Him. And He was obedient all the way to the cross. There is a cost to love. Cost to sacrifice. A cost to obedience. We'll come back to that in a minute. But Jesus says, with love comes obedience, and with obedience comes joy. And there was joy that Jesus desires to have in His disciples. There is joy that God desires to have in you. I'm telling you that my wife is ecstatic when Joe and JJ wash her car. I want to turn my wife's day around. She come out and see them washing her car. It's like she's doing a jig. She is so happy. And there is connection. Am I right on that, Joe?
Yeah, but if you don't have the hose.
Well, thank you for that blessing. This fit right into the message there, son. Yes. Love comes obedience, and obedience comes joy. The Father has joy in Jesus, and Jesus wants to have joy in you. You got fruit. Because Jesus chose you. No fruit is because of a choice that you have made. Lives of sacrifice. How many of you guys came in here and said, I'm going to go to church and see what kind of sacrifice I can make today? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the Church of the Living Sacrifice right there. That's me. We used to be called that. Nobody came, so we changed the City Heights Assembly. No, I'm joking. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Got any friends here today? It's a measure of love, laying down your life. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. With love comes obedience. With obedience comes joy and sacrifice. Jesus made a sacrifice for you. He went to the cross. Easter, we celebrate in several weeks, display the sacrifice of Christ, a celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus says, come and join me on the cross. And there are not many who want to do that. I would take this away if I could. I would turn that into a fluffy bed with pillows and a comforter and little palm frond boys that would keep you nice and cool and shade. And this could be the Church of the Palm, where there is no sacrifice, there is no challenge, and there is no obedience required. That this is the church of comfort. I don't want to be uncomfortable as I come to church. I don't want to have any pressure put upon me. And I'm so glad that our Lord Jesus Christ did not say that. That he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's possible, can this cup pass from me? And then he drank it. Got fruit? Got sacrifice. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Got a cross? Love, obedience, joy, and sacrifice. What do you have? Got fruit? Got obedience? Got sacrifice? Many of you do. My wife lives a sacrificial life. She never wanted to come to San Diego. Does not enjoy the inner city. Would love to be living in Iowa. Where?
Idaho.
Idaho. Oh, okay. Like Petticoat Junction. I think she wants to live in Petticoat Junction. But she prays for you. When you are not well, it breaks her heart. Been freaking out over birthdays and keeping track of birthdays and sickness. Keeps in contact with you. It is a load. It is a load that she carries. I don't know how willingly. She does it for the Lord. And because of that, she has fruit. You look down her life and you can see fruit. You got fruit? You carrying a load for the Lord? You carrying a cross? Or is that too inconvenient? You know, man, the Lord is not into convenience. You know what's going to be convenient is heaven. No more crying, no more dying, no more tears, no more pain. Until then, pick up your cross daily and follow me. You got fruit? Many of you do. If you don't, it's because of a choice that you have made. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I know, this is thick. Blood pressure's going up. Tommy's going to check you afterward. Choices that change. You are indeed chosen by our Lord. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's for you. Jesus talking to the disciples create the church. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We become his disciples. He's speaking to you. He says, I chose you to bear fruit. I didn't choose you for your convenience. I chose you and you bear fruit, not for you to eat, but for my Father's glory. And if you are involved in this program, you get heaven for eternity. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's not the church of Bob. That's the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message that he gives, and we put forth truth today. Amen?
Amen?
There are lots of places, as Pastor Paul said, that you can go and you can get a different message. You get the real deal here. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have spoken to you out of the world. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they persecuted you also. They will persecute you also. And if they open you for a reason, all this is not chance. Some of you came here today just to see a water baptism. And God, at the beginning of eternity, said, I'm going to use that water baptism. He says, that is why I baptize people. I tell the church to baptize people in water. So they'll get up and give their testimony, and some crazy pastor will preach on the vine and the branches on that day. Amen? And so you're here today. It is not by chance that the Lord has called you here today and says, I will hook up with you and transform your life, and you can have fruit. I don't care how long you've been coming. You can today hook up to the vine and start making fruit. He says, you're chosen for fruit. Go do it. Go make some. God's not going to hold you back in your support or your provision. He says, you ask anything in my name. You want to make glory to my Father? I'll give it to you. Sometimes, that was a stupid request. And he says, no. Sometimes it's for a time. Let him prune. Grow. Make fruit. He says, I want fruit. I'm going to look for fruit, and I'm going to prune you and make some more fruit, and I'm going to prune some more, and you make much fruit. That's the progress. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. I'm not feeling very comfortable today. Man, I got to be true to him. You come over to my house afterward. We'll take a nap together. We'll make some food. Come to the house of Bob. This is the house of God right now. I got to be true to him. Amen?
Amen.
Chosen on purpose. Chosen for fruit, go. And you don't have to stay. Some of you are thinking, man, I wish I could leave right now, man. There is persecution. that is coming to the church. This is today's news. Suicide bombers kill 14 people outside a Pakistani church. Two suicide bombers. World will hate you. I don't want to be hated. They hated Jesus. They'll hate you if you're following him. And say, it's too much, man. You can leave. You can leave. He's not chaining you down. He says, what do you mean I can leave? Check it out. All verses from John, from this chapter of John. If a man remains in me, that means you don't have to. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that means you don't have to. John 15, 10. If you obey my commands, that means you can be disobedient. You don't have to. But if you want to make the connection, you'll tell because you'll see fruit in your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. What kind of fruit? Fruit in keeping with repentance. The world hates Jesus because of sin. The world rejects Jesus because of sin, and the world will reject you because of sin. You start talking to somebody about their sin, they're going to be ticked. Get off my back. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They will treat you because they're ignorant. They don't know God. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. There is a testimony that Jesus has that is applied to the people of his name. It says, look, here is your proof. You get to choose. You can be pruned or you can be cut. You can have fruit. If you have fruit, it's because he chose you. If you don't, it's because of a choice that you have made. Amen? However, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you must testify about me, for you have been with me from the beginning. It's all about sin. Your sin, world's sin. You start moving out of sin, start talking about sin, people aren't going to like you very much. Sometimes people don't like me very much. My wife says, you need to chill a little bit. You could be a little bit softer around the edges. I'm sorry, because I know probably I've offended many of you. And I'm sorry. Yes. Remember, you got oil riding on this baby. They acted in ignorance. They did not know God. And their actions display their guilt. Their lives display their lack of fruit. They were guilty because they had observed the miracles of our Lord. And Jesus speaking about a message that is to the Jews, that he had brought the testimony of his Father and they had no excuse. You sit here today and you go, I'm not a Jew. I haven't seen any miracles of the Lord. And he says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, whom I'm going to send from the Father, Jesus goes on to say in chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit will come to convict the world of sin. That everyone would know. Ezekiel says, God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel says that there's going to come a day when I'm going to write my law in their hearts. He says they're guilty because of their law. God has written his law on your hearts, and you know if you have no fruit this morning. Right now you're going... You either got one of two responses. Get me out of here or get me on the vine. I'm sorry about that. If it was the Church of Bob, I would be doing this differently. But I don't know how to do it differently because I've been doing this for 20 years, 25 years for the Lord. They had no excuse. They were headed to the burn pile. Got fruit? Where are you headed? Some of you, this room is filled. Lisa, you want to come up and play? I'm really sorry for going long today, folks. This room is filled with people with fruit. There's guys down there cooking right now, cooking fruit. We got teachers. We got people who lead worship, play worship. JJ, play drums today. It's like, I don't know, fourth or fifth time? Fifth time, working on fruit. Some of that fruit was a little mushy this morning, but we were working on firming that up. You know, Lord says, hey, I'm looking for fruit, I'll prune you. I'll get you making better fruit. Jesus says, you hook up with me, you'll have fruit. Don't even sweat it. It's coming. Just be what? Obedient. But if you're disobedient, you got to watch out about getting snipped right off, thrown in the pile. Good for nothing but burning. So, Lord, I thank you this morning that you are mighty and awesome. Lord, I thank you for the testimony, Lord, that happened in that baptism tank this morning, Lord. People that have come to know you that can remember, yeah, I was in the classroom downstairs. Miss Elsie was teaching, and she said, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? I said, yeah, way back when I was 4. Lord, I thank you for the ability to come out of some pretty tangled lives. And maybe not instantly, Lord, but in process, Lord, as you do pruning and you do some cleaning. Tying up, fruit comes. And more fruit, much fruit. Lord, I thank you for so much fruit in this place. I thank you for your truth, Lord, that we proclaim boldly. And Lord, I thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that lifts, guides, directs, and convicts. And you're here this morning, and you look back at your life, and you can see some fruit. You can say, Lord, a little pruning. I'll take it today. Got some stuff in my life that I could leave and just snip it right off. I don't know what it is. I might be holding on. If you got to snip it off, Lord, I'm probably holding on pretty tight to that. But Lord, I give you permission to come in this morning. Snip away. I want to be in you. I want to make some fruit for you. And maybe you're feeling a little heat right now. Like matches are being lit under your feet. Look back at your life and there's no fruit. There's no obedience. There's disobedience. There's rebellion. There's a continual, no, Lord, I don't think so. No, Lord, I don't think so. I'm not comfortable with that, Lord. And it's feeling a little warm. And you want to get hooked up with the vine. Saying, Lord, I want some fruit. Lord, I need a connection with you. And nobody looking around this morning, you're feeling warm. Burn pile is too close. You're saying, I'm not connected to the vine. I want to be connected to the vine. I'm ready to grab on. Nobody's looking around, but this is you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, oh, Lord, give me a shot. I'm going to grab on. Here, 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 here.